Because the products do have resistance and reactance at different frequencies. I'm talking about just the material. And to the advantage of using the resistance, you can actually create a lot of loss at certain frequencies you don't want. So, for instance, the very beads that we use for noise suppression on computer cables and stuff like that actually are using the resistive portion of their impedance characteristic to absorb the noise, which is at much higher frequency usually than the signal that what cable is carrying. So it gets rid of the noise that way, just simply by absorbing it. So then the ferrite does get warm in that sense. Okay, great. So back to Darren. Darren, has any of this been helpful for you? W9KD8.
Yes, thank you. Thus far, I'm taking my notes. And it was kind of a two-parter. The first part, I'm just kind of doing a gentle dive into all things a loop antenna, the delta loop, and then I came across some YouTube videos on the Chameleon CHA-TDL, and the reviewers really liked it. I thought for just convenience, which it sounds like it is a very convenient antenna, especially for a field day type event, it might be a winner, and especially if I can put it about 10 to 15 feet in the air, which I can.
Okay, Darren, super. That'd be great. Yeah, that probably would be a good, portable antenna you can bring out to field days or other, porting events and so forth. That's the idea with Chameleon. They try to make something really easy for portable operations. And, of course, I think they started out in the MCON market anyway, a number of years ago I've done these COMEX exercises where we deployed these type of antennas, and they work, because as Brett always says, for emergency communications, you don't care about, getting out to the East Coast. You care about just getting local contacts, because that's the most important. And, within a 50-mile radius of you are going to be the most helpful to you, not, 1,000 miles away. So that's okay. The antenna is not the greatest in the world, but it's easy to deploy because, believe me, time is a big factor. You get out there, you need to get that antenna up within 15 minutes or half an hour. Those kinds of antennas are great to take for that because they do deploy that fast. Other antennas can take an hour, and that you don't want for deployments. Okay, great. Darren, I'm glad they were able to answer your questions. Anybody else have any further comments regarding delta loops, especially the Chameleon delta loops? Go ahead, Brett.
Okay, so let's go back to that. Okay. So the delta shape, because I'm surprised. But the idea of a loop, any kind of, or you drip. So let's say higher, but the problem points that are stretched out, okay? Now, delta loop, if you take that and then you just put a wire across the point, now you have entry point. You throw a pulley off tree and you haul the drop. I've done that. So it's stretched out quite a bit. You got the thing, the top off. It'll get out of the drip. Okay, so, all right, but typically, here's the deal. The height, makes a difference.
Yes, John, stand by for a second. So, Brett, do you want to continue with your train of thought, or should we let John go? Okay, thanks. John, go ahead.
Yeah, am I getting into the repeater okay?
Yes, you're fine, John. Go ahead.
Okay, Jason, if you have any kind of a loop that's in a vertical plane, hanging in a vertical plane like we're talking about, can be thought of as just a different shape of a round loop. And if you think about it, as you move the feed point around that loop to different places on that loop, you're going to get different angle of polarization, right? So if you feed that round loop at the top or bottom, and everything is symmetrical, you're going to get horizontal polarization. And if you move that feed point up to the side of the loop, halfway in between the bottom and the top, you're going to get vertical polarization. So when you have some other shape loop, like a triangle, actually, to get vertical polarization, you have to feed it halfway between the middle of the top and the middle of the bottom. Like if you have a triangle that, you know, has a fat base and a point at the top, to get vertical polarization out of it, you have to find that feed point that's halfway between that vertical point at the top and half and the middle of the base. That's your vertical polarization feed point.
Thanks, John. Yeah, I'm trying to picture how that happens. Is it? I'm assuming it's due to current flows, currents that are flowing in the different sides, that maybe opposite each other, and there's some cancellation of the fields. If you're feeding it where you want horizontal polarization, then all the vertical stuff cancels each other and vice versa. Is that how that works?
Well, it's just that, you know, wherever you feed it, it goes from that feed point a half wave, you know, in either direction, and that's your basic dipole. And the other dipole that's connected in parallel with is, you know, is the other part of the loop.
Okay, John, yeah, I'll have to, I'm not that familiar with how loops work. I haven't done that much work with them, so I'll have to educate myself. So thank you. That's really nice. That is the versatility of loops, so you can switch polarizations without having to actually physically change them. So that's really nice about the loop. Also, quad antennas are that way too. You can see quads, at the corner or in the middle, in between corners, and different the vertical versus the horizontal, legs of it, and you will get very similar types of behavior. And by the way, I have some interesting questions regarding quads and loops. Regarding takeoff angles and radiation patterns in the vertical plane. So if we have time, I'll get to those. So does anybody else have any comments or questions regarding delta loop antennas?
W7EAZ.
Okay, Mark. Yeah, I know you have a lot of experience with loops. Go ahead.
This particular loop is totally different than a magnetic loop. And what I heard on this loop that we're talking about, this chameleon loop, I heard a number like 3 dB insertion loss. Everybody needs to remember that 3 dB is half your signal strength, both receive and transmit. Magnetic loop is a totally different animal because it's fed differently. And we're talking about feeding a wire that has a specific sort of radiation pattern, totally different than a magnetic loop, W7EAZ.
Okay, yeah, thanks, Mark. And Jagger, just, I mean, you're probably going to say this, but I just want to correct Mark here. No, we did not, that 3 dB number was not an actual quote of specifications. That's something we just threw out there as a hypothetical. So I hope it is a 3 dB loss. But Jagger, I think, can fill us in on that. Go ahead, Jagger.
I can't remember what the actual loss. It is significant, but in that particular end, that with that transformer, it's still a good antenna, and you will hear. But there, you know, loss comes. There, convenience comes with the price, but you will still hear lots of signals. I got in here to commend Mark for bringing this up, because Mark, I don't hear, and I gave all these reasons why a confusing topic. Vertically polarized, horizontal, and blah, 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 and I failed to remember the confusion of magnetic loops as well. That also gets thrown in there when talking about W's.
Okay, Jager, yeah. Magnetic loops, a whole different topic. Over to you, Brett.
Okay, first off.
Okay, Brett, yeah, I'll look forward to that discussion, but let's see, if there was a double out there, please come back. Okay, John, go ahead, and then we'll go back over to Brett.
Yeah, if you have a loop that's hanging in a vertical plane, regardless of its shape, and you move that feed point around, you know, from maybe the bottom to anywhere along any of the sides or towards the top or whatever, as you do that, you're changing the linear polarization angle between vertical and horizontal. You're getting diagonal ones of, you know, different angles. And, of course, in the real world, you've got ground there, and that's going to, by moving that feed point around, you're going to interact with the ground differently. So if you have it to where you're feeding it horizontally, where you're getting horizontal polarization out of it, you're going to get ground gain, and breath can tell us about that. And as you move that around, that ground gain will change when you get to the vertical feed point, vertical polarization feed point. And so the interaction with the ground is going to affect things quite a bit as well. And that's all I wanted to throw in there. K7JCD.
Right check in.
Okay, thank you, John. Yes, go ahead, right check in.
Will do at 10 Indian Bravo Hotel.
Okay, Gerard, happy check in. Sheila Julia Simmons, Indian Bravo Hotel. Thank you for checking in. Okay, over to Brett now.
Okay, so talking about a dichotomy pulse. Okay, when you take the duct flat, it's great, but it is still rests. Let's think about it. I would feed it at the top for your radio. That's not a drift. Maybe they're done here. That definitely wears out.
Thank you, Brett. Yeah, what's interesting about terminating resistors on antennas, and I have experience with that too, and including the beverage antenna, is that you can pretty much tune any band because there's no standing waves. They're basically something like this may be a stretch for the folded dipole, but it's kind of a traveling wave antenna. So the power, power supposedly gets dissipated in the resistor, and so typically in a normal antenna, you get reflections, if it's non-resistive terminated, you'll get reflections off the ends of the antenna coming back, which sets up the standing wave pattern, which we're all familiar with. And that also feeds, if there's an impedance mismatch, you'll get that on the feed line as well. But in this case, very little reflective power is there, so you don't get much SWR, and you can tune on any frequency on these types of antennas. So yes, I've seen those antennas in military use, mostly at the National Guard armories that I've seen. They have that kind of antenna set up on the roof, and they can tune any band. They don't have to worry about SWR as much. So anyway. Thank you for that, Brett. Anybody else have any comments or questions?
Check in and comment.
Oh, that sounds like Steve. Yeah, go ahead, Steve. I basically, you didn't go ahead and give me a call, but I've already got you in here.
Yeah, you bet. Kilo Julia 7 Zulu Mike Quebec.
Yes, you got you. Go ahead.
I had been remiss in emptying out my email. This magazine groups I owe the repeater, of which, among others, Whiskey 70 AZ Steve and then Chris, who's always active in stuff, K9 CAN. This is outstanding. Good on you guys and all those who put effort into doing this, WA7ABU and others. This is really cool. Well done.
Hey, we try there, Steve. The thing is, I don't think that there are very many nets on either repeaters or certainly not on HF that do this kind of discussion. I mean, there are some. We know that W7PXL repeater for Eugene, the Eugene Club, Valley Radio Club, does have this. They have a technical discussion net, but I think it's just at night once a week. And they don't do a morning, a daily one like we do. And we can get a lot of discussion on. Sadly, for a lot of people, they can't make this net because of the timing, but I wish we can. I think Jager's right. We need to record these things and just kind of like post the recording up so people can like listen to it on their own time. They get a lot out of it. I know a lot of, especially newbies, would really love this. But thanks for that comment there, Steve. Anybody else with a comment or question?
Confirming my comment.
Go ahead.
A good comment on a comment, but the repeater magazine, called The Repeater, the December 25th edition that I think Chris, K9CAN, had forwarded to the group's IO, that's what I was referring to, and that's also an outstanding piece of work and no small amount of effort. That's really, really good stuff, and I'll bet you a lot of people have missed that.
Yes, including me. I didn't. I haven't been in Group IO in the last couple of weeks, sadly enough, and I missed it. So thanks for letting us know, Steve. Appreciate it.
That's way cool. And there's a picture Hi, hi. There's a picture of W70AZ on the front wearing his Santa suit. It's really cool.
Well, we love that. It shows we're human and we got a sense of humor as well. Yeah, that's it, anyway, yeah, what we do on the Santa is very cool. I really love it myself. And I'll never stop listening, I mean, even if I'm not in that control, but I plan to be for as long as they'll have me.
W70AZ?
Go ahead, Dan.
And we do have recordings. All you have to do is note that date and time, and you can go back to that date and time. If you go to W70AZ.com, go to the bottom and click on the thing on the bottom, actually it's the recorder, but it's on a different website, and it'll tell you exactly where to go retrieve, record. The company charges for yearly membership, but I believe anybody can go without becoming a member and still retrieve a single recording. So that's something to consider. I think there's some other recordings going on. I can't remember exactly. I think one of our Eugene folks is putting together something that can be retrieved from Mesh. Back to you, WA7AB.
Oh, thanks, Dan. Yeah, I forgot that we do have recordings. Well, what would be very cool is if they had a transcript of the communications, and then that way you could it would be searchable, so you can look up a particular topic, you know, and then refer back to a particular net, because you have no idea what may have been discussed on the net, but there may have been a discussion on something you were interested in, and it would be great if they could provide that service, but I know that's probably a stretch. So anyway, but that can be done. I know that for a fact. Anyway, thank you, guys. Now, are there any more check-ins, any late check-ins at this time, or a new topic that anyone wants to raise? Otherwise, I have some interesting questions regarding the very intended discussion we've just been having.
Well, another quick comment here. With all the AI going on right now, it's hard to open a browser without AI available. And there's got to be a way to go from speech to text. I believe our meetings are being recorded that way. So it always sounds a little bit wordy when they convert to written material, but there definitely are ways that you can make such a conversion these days. Back to you, Scott, WA7AV.
Yes, thanks, Dan. Yeah, basically Zoom and Teams provides that capability. So you can do voice-to-text transcripts, and then what would be cool, going beyond that, is if they were searchable. In other words, AI could be inserted there to say, okay, I want to find out about it, like Delta Loop antennas, and when, you know, was there any discussion on that? And lo and behold, yes, there was on this particular day. Here it is, and that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. So it could be really useful for people who really want to learn something from our and take advantage of our nets without having to literally be checked in or listening to the live net. So that's where I was going with that. Okay, you guys, there's a couple of things I'd like to quiz you on, if we can, but let me give priority to any of your check-ins or anybody else who has a comment or question or wants to raise another topic, even if it's unrelated.
Good morning, Scott.
Oh, hello, Rita.
KM7BEA, just checking in.
Thank you, Rita. Got you checked in. KM7, Bravo Echo Alpha. Thank you for checking in, Rita. Did you have anything you wanted to ask?
No, not today, but I should get out my field day notes. There were some things that were interesting to me at the time, but not off the top of my head at the moment.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, we can certainly talk more about winter field days. Maybe on tomorrow's night with Brad. Okay, here's a couple of questions, guys. I wanted to fill this in. This is from an article out of March 1964, CQ Magazine, which I have to say, I think at that time, this magazine was really written for extra class. And